Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right. When you hear this banger, you know Mitch Tischler's about to join us. He's a boy band lover. What up, big man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. You guys sing along to every song that comes back from break. And you decide to let this one play through clean?
Maybe one day we'll play the whole thing. We got Jeff running things this week. So I was, Jeffrey, very impressed you remembered Mitch's walk-up song. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to sit here and lie. I was like, yo, what is Mitch's song, man? I got it.
Attaboy. Big man, did you see the Eagles just worked out a 3-year extension with Devontae Smith?
I did.
That's a well-run organization, man.
They should have.
Yeah, the Eagles do so much right, and they're obviously in a win-now situation after signing, you know, who was it, Devontae Parker and Saquon this offseason to help out that offense. My only pullback is they got two receivers that are making $25 million a year, give or take. And, you know, we all saw here in Washington what happens when you're spending that much money on a non-premium position, what can happen going down the line with salary cap and all that. But, man, Devontae Parker, he's so good, and I think it's a great signing.
It is. I mean, they are pretty loaded on both sides of the ball. I'm just really curious if they, whatever happened the second half of last season, if that is fixed. Because that didn't seem like a personnel issue. It seemed like a we hate our coach issue.
Leadership issue.
Yeah, for sure. Also,
they brought in Devin White on the other side of the ball, too. It seems like one of those situations where they're giving Sirianni everything that he could possibly need to go out and win a Super Bowl this year. And
all they have to do is go get Big Dom and be on the sideline, and Sirianni would be good.
There you go, B-Mitch. That was the missing part last year. Big Dom was the problem.
It honestly might have been that Big Dom wasn't there. It sounds so absurd to say, but something happened. Let's turn our eyes back to Washington. Adam Schefter joined the guys on the Trap or Draw podcast. I want to credit those guys, Jamal and Dre and that crew. And Schefter said something to the effect like, yeah, if you want to pre-order a Jaden Daniels jersey, go ahead, for Commanders fans. Does it seem, now we know all these guys are going to be in this week for visits. You never know what could change or whatever. But does the Daniels thing seem pretty inevitable to you?
It feels like it's making its way that direction. The only caveat or pullback from the Schefter thing is, I think he said, he didn't get that from somebody in the building. That's from the sense around the league. So, again, you know, we're hearing all these reports from people around the league, but not necessarily directly from inside the building. But obviously Schefter's hit rate is 99.5%.
He's so high.
It feels like it's making its way that direction, and I believe there may be a new number 5 in Washington come draft day.
How do you think that goes down with Tress? I guess I could ask him, but I don't want to put him in a weird
spot. Yeah, so one of my buddies was asking about it the other day.
Tress is a Pro Bowl NFL player for multiple years. Jaden can make a new adjustment and change his number and keep moving. That's coming from college.
Yo, Kirk got a new number, and it wasn't even for a Pro Bowler, right? Yeah.
I don't think that's something that Tress has to automatically change.
Tress doesn't automatically have to give it up, but he's such a nice guy that he may. The Kirk thing was interesting because for Kirk to change back to number 8, he had to buy out all of the Kyle Pitts jerseys that the NFL had in stock. And we know that Kirk is a frugal man who's made, you know, a buttload of money, but he didn't want to do that, so that's kind of why he didn't go to number 8. And there aren't a lot of punters in the league that would have a lot of back stock of, you know, their jerseys. But if there's one, Tressway probably has some. So somebody would have to buy out that back stock and now, figure out whether that's all going to happen.
Well, thing I'll say, I just looked this up. Tress wore 36 at Oklahoma.
No, he won't wear that.
I'm not saying that. But I'm guessing, like, he never asked for number 5. He randomly just got assigned number 5.
Yeah, but years has he been wearing it? And listen to me, man. I'll have a discussion with Jaden if he comes here and he's a first-round pick.
Number 2 overall.
Number 2 overall. Yeah, you can afford it.
Oh,
Tress
yeah.
has been punting in Washington.
He'll definitely be able to afford it.
This will be his 10th season.
Tress is such a nice guy. He might just give it. He might just, you know, offer it up as a token of goodwill.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
I bet $50,000 will make
it. Not this day and age.
Yeah, that'll be. I mean, of all the dumb subplots, that is really really near the top of the list. you know, I saw this tweet from Bill Simmons this morning that I wanted to read about. I at least just wanted to like read it on air. It's hilarious, and I'm including myself in this. He says, it's hilarious that everyone spends so much time, energy, resources figuring out the NFL draft, and yet this recently happened. In 2018, the draft order for quarterbacks was Baker Mayfield first overall, Sam Darnold third, Josh Allen seventh, Josh Rosen 10th, Lamar Jackson 32nd. And 1 year prior, in 2017, it went Mitch Trubisky at 2, Pat Mahomes at 10, Deshaun Watson at 12.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean,
you don't know. Because
it's not a perfect science.
It's what happens once you get there, the support the quarterback has, and how can you groom things around him? You know? The quarterback's not going to just step in here and things automatically change.
Yeah, I agree with B. Mitch. I think that there's so much of the quarterback situation that matters as much as who the player is in terms of development and whether your OC is going to, you know, cater an offense to them and they're going to bring in players around them, how they're able to develop them through the offseason and training camp and all that. Like, I think that there's a very good chance that Sam Darnold ended up in a good situation instead of where he ended up, that he could be a very good quarterback right now. But because of the situation that he was in, you know, things went south. And the same can be said for so many other guys. I think, you know, what the coaching staff that Dan Quinn and has put together with all the vets that have been around the league and guys who have worked in developing quarterbacks, they're, I believe, putting themselves in the best position to develop this guy with people who have a proven track record.
Yeah. You know, I think that's well said. I think, you know, I was talking with somebody, where was I yesterday? Oh, actually, I was talking with a dude that knows you, B. I was at my buddy Stip's house, and we were chatting about the football, the draft coming up. And this dude knows you because his daughter did competitive dance with one of your daughters. Sam was his name. I can't remember his last name. And
that would help.
Some with a G, like Gettleman or something. But he said, he's like, man, you go to these competitive dance things, and there's not a lot of dudes you can talk sports to. And one of the things I always loved about B-Mitch is he was happy to just talk sports.
Hell yeah. 5,000 little girls running around. Yeah. I need to find somebody to talk some football with me. Yeah,
exactly. Marcus Mariota came up, and one of these guys that was at the little Masters thing was saying that, you know, with Mariota, he looked so bad in that quarterback film, in the quarterback series on Netflix, late in that Falcons season where he kind of just went AWOL. I firmly believe that because they have Brian Johnson here, and Brian Johnson was in the room with him last year in Philly, that they know the character inside and out. And everybody I've talked to that knows him says he's a great, great dude. Is that any concern to you, Mitch, about kind of what happened at the end of his Atlanta tenure 2 years ago?
It's not a big concern because it was a few years ago now, and they did bring in Brian Johnson, who obviously knows him very well, and they signed Mariota after they brought in Brian. So ostensibly, I would think that they would talk to him about how he was in the room. In our short dealings with him, he sounds like a very, you know, he sounds very comfortable in the situation that he's in, knowing what's being expected of him. To me, when I look at that Atlanta situation, I wonder if it was a little bit like the Jacoby Brissett situation last year where, you know, he kind of was told he was going to compete and then all of a sudden, you know, things didn't go well for either of the two of those guys and maybe Brissett just kind of handled it a little bit better. Obviously, Mariota didn't play well in Atlanta, but he just kind of got benched sort of out of the blue, it felt like, in the show. You know, there wasn't like a whole lot of, at least on-camera discussion about it. So who knows what the background story is of what happened there. I think the fact that they brought in somebody who knows him so well, and obviously I would assume vouch for him, you know, makes me not worry about it too much.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you there. It's just, it's interesting to watch that. Outside of that, we haven't had a ton of exposure to this guy, but I think the situation here is really...
He was damn good as last year in college. Then he gets there, you know, but I think a lot of times the backup is a guy who you know can facilitate just in case and not going to cause a problem. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of backups will cause problems. So that's the ultimate thing.
Yeah, you want the right guy, especially in this thing where there's probably going to be a rookie. One thing that I continue to find interesting, and I don't know when his next mock will come out, but I imagine it's soon, right? But Daniel Jeremiah is it might just be like his style, whatever, but that's a dude whose draft coverage I enjoy the most. There's plenty of people, Kuiper, yeah, there's Dane Brugler does a great job. There's lots of people, right? I like DJ, and I feel like he's pretty wired in, and he has consistently had them taking Drake May at number two. Okay. I kind of think he's the only guy still doing that, and I believe his last mock draft came out a few weeks ago now. It was like late March, but where are you at on Drake May and even J.J. McCarthy as a possibility, Mitch?
I don't mind Drake May. I'd be very excited if it was Drake May. I mean, I've been a Jaden Daniels guy. He's my number one guy, but I'd be perfectly good with Drake May there. J.J. McCarthy at two, I mean, I would, you know, I'm going to trust what Adam Peters does here in this first group because I think he deserves a little bit of a runway of, you know, without the skepticism. But if they go J.J. McCarthy, that guy's got to be good right away or it's going to create, you know, a bunch of problems.
Yeah.
Or at least a lot of –
It would change the narrative, I tell you that, if he's not good.
What's that?
It would change the narrative if he were to make that move and he comes in and he's not very good.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's so much goodwill towards Adam Peters right now, and if he goes out on a limb and takes a guy like J.J. McCarthy who isn't unanimously – one of the top two or three guys, you know, I think there'd be a lot of concerns that it's, you know, the second coming of, you know, Ron Rivera, where they think that they're the smartest guy in the room and they want to outsmart the league and, you know, all those things. And, you know, I think it would create a lot of pressure on that kid to do well right away. So Drake or Jaden all in on JJ would be with a dash of skepticism.
No hesitance.
Yeah. I am definitively not opposed to a trade back and get JJ scenario. I just think you can't go much past four. I think it's really, really difficult to successfully pull that off. And I think whatever assets you gain by dropping out of two, how many of those do you have to give up to get back to four? Mm-hmm. And I just think it's overly challenging. I think it's Jaden at two, but I don't know. I don't know that anybody does. I do like JJ, though. I might like JJ more than Drake, which I know some would be offended by.
I am as opposite of you on the trade back as humanly possible, at least when it comes to if you're going to trade back and take a quarterback in the second or third round or whatever, then, you know, again, you know, I'll trust Adam Peters to a certain extent. But if you're trading back just to get back to the front of the first round to get a quarterback, I don't want them to do that because you control your own destiny at two for the most part. Go get your guy that you want. If you're getting, you know, maybe one extra one to move back to four or five, but you give other teams opportunities to jump up and take your guy, I think you control your own destiny. You stick it to. You take the guy that you believe is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL moving forward. And if the general public and folks like us want to argue about whether that was a smart move or dumb move. It'll all get played out on the field, and we'll get a chance to see, you know, who's right.
I'll just do like I do. Just wait and see what happens.
It is definitely.
He likes to sit on both sides of the fence.
No, I don't sit on both sides of the fence. You ask me what I like, I'll tell you exactly who I like.
Yeah, B's a Jaden guy.
I'll tell you who I like, but my whole thing is I'm not going to sit up here and try to decipher whether or not they're going to pick him or not because, I mean, I have other stuff I can be focusing on. Well, but I will tell you why I like Jaden, and I know why people say, oh, well, he's small. I don't think anybody's going to stay the same size. They'll gain some weight.
Well, and the other thing, you said, you know, if Peters was to draft McCarthy and he struggles a little early, that's going to change – you know, the Peters perception pretty quick, whoever he drafts, if they struggle, is going to impact the perception. Like, whether it's Daniels, May, Michael Penix.
I think we in the media just, and fans are normally feeding off, if a guy struggles a little bit as a rookie early on, and we immediately go, oh, Lord, we're going to make everybody else think the same thing. But if we were to play it as if, you know what, people do struggle a little bit, and as they get through it, I think people will give him a chance.
Big man, quickly, what'd you think of the Masters?
It was a fun weekend. I really enjoyed it. I find myself liking Scottie Scheffler more and more every time I watch him win. And generally, that's not the case because I like underdogs for the most part. But, you know, he's a worthy champion, and he went out there, and every time he makes a bogey, he turns it back with two birdies in a row. And it's impressive to watch him get around the golf course.
So, Mitch, that doesn't sound like you won a lot of money to me. Normally, I can tell just by how you sound, I know you lost some bets.
You know, Xander Schauffele was my horse going in. I had him to win top five, top ten. You know, so the fact that he kind of melted a little on Sunday didn't help out a whole lot.
I am bailed out by the one and only Mike Beasley because of this Calcutta. I got a little piece of. Otherwise, I'd had a rough weekend. Yo, last thing. Huge Caps game tonight. You going to be down there?
I am going to be down there.
Okay,
me too. You going to be down there?
Yeah, let's hang out.
I am sitting outside the NBC or the Monumental Sports Studios right now. Just want to give you a quick shout-out, JP. The Altcast on Sunday for the Wiz was a lot of fun. You guys took a game that didn't have a ton of meeting and made it pretty interesting. So that was fun to watch.
You know, thank you, dude. You know what was cool, and I'd like to see if we can get this audio. We had Gus Johnson join us, mm-hmm. and Gus is the man, right? Yeah. Like I just think he's like an iconic play-by-play voice at this stage. And Buckhantz hired Gus. We're going way back now, but Gus was his intern mm-hmm. at Channel 5, and then later Gus came back to work in D.C. as the weekend sports anchor. And I asked Gus kind of what Buck meant to him, and he gave this tribute to Steve Buckhantz that anybody that grew up watching the Wiz and the Bullets feels, and it was just so touching. It was really cool. I got to see if I can track that down. All right, dude. I'll see you at the Caps.
All right. Thanks,
all right, Mitch. Take care, brother.
That's our guy, Mitch Tischler. We need to have a discussion. Brandon Ayuk. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The wait is over, D.C. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is officially live. And right now, new customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, when you bet your first $5 on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian. To sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 18 years old and present in D.C. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? You can call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Is this where he's like, got a little money in my pocket? I like that part. So, B, I know you know this feeling when you're at a dinner or even like, I've been doing these Wizard shows, and so it's like people kind of want to talk to you about football stuff, but they're trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
And definitely over the weekend, at least I can think of three different dudes working Wizards games, like production guys, guys that are in the in the offices, whatever, will kind of like try to casually get me to talk about this Brandon Ayuk thing, which I have largely ignored. Not ignored. I paid attention to. It just doesn't feel like it's a thing. But then what we get over the weekend, Jeff, I'm sure you saw this in your Commander's Deep State social media. What did Brandon Ayuk do on social media this weekend?
He requested a trade.
No. Demanded.
No. That has been proven incorrect.
Oh, well, that was the last thing I saw. And it was like this morning.
So that tweet, that came out on social media. And then his agent quote tweeted and said, this is not true. Now, there's a lot of levels to
agents
this.
Normally say that after we hear it, that someone demanded a thing, though. But you know how it goes.
Brandon Ayuk is going into the last year of his rookie deal. He has a $14 million option. The Niners have exercised it. So he stands to make $14 million this year. And it's entirely possible his agent is having lots of conversations, because this is when San Fran would be trying to get a deal done. And, you know, hey, you guys already have money committed to Debo and Kittle and all these guys. If we could look elsewhere, but nobody's demanding or requesting anything. We're just talking.
Yeah.
We're just some guys talking. And obviously, a guy like Adam Peters coming from the Niners is going to be very familiar with Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk's coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Last season, he had 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. The year before, just over 1,000, 1,015 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's proven to be durable. He's missed one game in the last 3 years. Adam Peters, there's a lot to like there. Now, specific to Washington, does it make sense? You've got McLaurin. So the one conversation I had with one of these guys at working the Wizards game, he's like, I just don't know if you want to have to pay Ayuk because you already got to pay Dotson. And I said,
you don't have to pay Dotson?
Yeah, I think that's premature.
Yeah.
To start with, you have at least 2 years left on his rookie deal and possibly three if you want to pick up his option year. So you're not even entertaining paying Dotson for at least 2 years or probably three, and then it would be an extension after that. And 2B, I don't know that Dotson's done enough right now to say you got to pay him. Like, you got to be...
Well, it ain't, I don't know. He hasn't.
Right.
When you look, and that's like we started the show off today discussing how people are so ready to make somebody the next guy. How about let people do something that will justify that? And then all of a sudden, you wouldn't have to even have to discuss it, because if he's done enough, guess what? They'll be already talking about it. But his first year was very good, but he missed a lot of time. The second year was a drop-off. So you have to be sitting here going, this year is a hell of a year that he could come back and show you that the first year when he was healthy is the year of who he really is. But to say you got to pay him at this point, nah, that's a stretch.
I agree. I totally agree. So, listen, the Commanders have a ton of cap space. They could – so what are the logistics surrounding a Brandon Ayuk trade? What does something like that look like? Well, there's two avenues. There's avenue one, where a team just trades for him in the last year of his deal. That avenue will not get the Niners back a ton. It just won't. What did Steph Diggs just go for? Toby, Google that. Like, NFL.
But Ayuk hasn't been what Steph has been.
Not even close, but I'm saying Diggs' trade market value wasn't as high as people thought. So Ayuk's is going to be even less than that.
Well, no. What I'm saying, Diggs' trade market was lower because of how Diggs is.
True.
He wore that his antics wore thin on some of those guys.
Right. Like, Diggs now has been traded twice. Two different organizations have traded him away. That is a contract, yes, but Diggs also. This Ayuk thing is a contract thing.
Yeah.
What do you got, Toe?
It's a second-round pick, and also the Texans got a fifth and a sixth-round pick with it. So a second-round pick, but not just a second-round
pick. And the Texans had to whop the rest of the contract off. He gets to go to free agency next year. So an Ayuk trade without a contract, at best a third? Like, people are like, oh, give him a second. Like, no, you don't need to do that unless there's a contract. Yeah. You could maybe get away with like a fourth and a fifth, honestly. I don't know what it would look like. It's a promising young receiver, but.
But if he gets permission to talk and they feel they can sign him to a long-term deal, they'll be willing to give a little bit more.
That is the second avenue. That would become much more realistic. Where you're giving up, maybe it's a second or a third and a fifth or something. So then the question becomes, what do you pay Brandon Ayuk? What does he command? Because he's not a free agent. You have him for a year on this rookie deal, where his cap number this year is going to be 14 mil. You look at the NFL, Ayuk is good, undoubtedly. I don't know that he's great, Brian. Would you? He's a good wideout. He went for 1,300 last year. 6 foot, 200 pounds. His proven toughness. He's a good player. But you look at the wide receiver market, which has exploded. I mean, you've got almost 20 guys making 20 mil or more. You've already got McLaurin on the books making 23. There is an advantage for Washington in that if they try to get an Ayuk deal done, they get the 24 season at 14 mil. So if you're looking at the average value over the life of this deal, say you got to pay him 25 a year just because it's math and inflation and everything's going up. So a deal would probably be a 4-year extension with 50 mil guaranteed, just to make the math easy, right?
Yeah.
So you're on the hook for 50 mil for 2 years, but you've got this third year at 14. So you're really on the hook for three at 64.
Yeah.
Which is, it lowers that a little bit, right? Three for 64 is 21 and a quarter or whatever.
Yeah, it does.
I can wrap my head around that math. And then all the, just think about what your receiving core is then. Terry at 23, Ayuk at 25, but it's really 21. So you've got that for 3 years is what I would assume, because you've got the rookie deal, and then whatever the fake contract is, you're going to guarantee 2 years. Terry, I believe, his guarantee, so that would run you 24, 25, 26 if you made the move this year. Terry has guaranteed money in his deal this year. He had it last year, has it this year. By 26, that's a void year. He's going to be a free agent, or they're working out a new deal anyway. Dotson, you have at least 24 or 25 on the rookie deal, and you could pick up 26. You could have these three receivers relatively cost-effective through the 26 season.
But does that kind of hinder you from signing some better offensive lineman to make sure you legitimately have that? To where you get those receivers, you don't have an offensive line, now your quarterback can't get the ball to them.
That's a very fair question, but they still have the second most cap space in the league. You got to assume that they plan to address left tackle in the draft, probably early on. You know, if you can get the math here isn't that advanced. If I can figure it out, it's certainly not that advanced.
We know.
If you get quarterback and left tackle addressed via draft picks, while you can't even enter into contract discussions for an extension until 3 years in the league, right? So they'd have a 3-year window where they've got arguably the two most important positions on a football team. Certainly one of them, the most important, and then a really important one that are major salary cap drivers in quarterback and left tackle. You got those cheap.
Yeah.
And that's when you can spend elsewhere. Now, so it's easy to make that case how it could happen.
Yeah.
When I come back, I'll explain to you that Vegas doesn't see it happening. Don't go anywhere. All righty. Talking Brandon Ayuk, but Ahmed just got here.
You're right.
Dude, so Ahmed just got here. Three Pizza Uno pizzas, some wings. He got B. Mitch a salad. B. Mitch is very healthy. I've already had a wing and a slice of pizza. I am not very healthy. But I said to Brian, when I saw Ahmed walk in, I said, $20, we see the rooster. Sure enough.
He walked by earlier, then he came back.
Now, there are days when I'm trying to get the rooster to join us in his normal 12:45 slot, and we can't find him. Today, however, he's here.
Hey, lo and behold.
What's up, Roost?
I mean, I had no idea Ahmed was here. Okay, that's number one. The first inkling I had of it was when you walked past and said,
No.
Hey, Ahmed brought in lunch.
You walked all the way down here.
I did.
To go.
I come to say hello. I don't always say hello to you guys because you're on the air sometimes and because I've been told not to come into the control room.
That's only by Landfill, who's on vacation.
Well, and that's kind of sort of a CK rule because
nobody pays attention to it.
Well, to CK?
Or to the rule about not going in there.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Bull. So I try and be respectful of the fact that you guys are actually working. So I do come and say hello a lot of times, but I usually hang out behind the door sometimes.
Jeff, do you believe him that he had no idea that Ahmed had just rolled in with three pizzas?
I think he didn't know when he started walking his way, but once he got close, that nose smell. He's old. He's
follow
old.
Your nose, Toucan Sam.
Rooster's a beagle, brother. He knows. He knew. Rooster, he got close. He said, oh, hell. I mean, Ahmed is here.
I mean, I've already had some salad on the way in.
Yeah. So you don't want anything? You don't want any of that
salad.
Delicious deep
you
dish pizza?
Eat salad
I'm
going to
be like B-Mitch. I'm going to look sculpted and svelte like he does.
Maybe you should grow a goatee.
I mean, I did have a big, shaggy beard until I finally shaved.
What, if anything, do you think of this Brandon Ayuk stuff?
I'm thinking like a typical young man in today's day and age. It's stupid that he tries to send a message on social media by unfollowing the 49ers, but that's just how the kids play these days. I'll never get it, whatever.
To me, though, this is just contract stuff.
Yeah.
This is what happens in contract stuff.
The problem is how do you pay Ayuk when you just paid Debo a year and a half ago, when you paid Kittle? When you have McCaffrey on a big deal, when you have to pay Purdy after this year,
right?
Assuming that Purdy doesn't regress this year, when you have Trent on a big deal, when you have Fred Warner on a big deal.
If anybody can find a way, they will. Because like the thing about it, but ultimately, you want to, if you get rid of him, you want to get rid of him by getting something for him.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think like when you look at other teams, like I used to always sit here and wonder, how the hell does Kansas City always sign somebody? And they never have problems.
What's interesting is you bring the Chiefs up. This is via
that would be a good landing spot for them.
Yes. Well, because they might not even have Rashee Rice, and they probably shouldn't this year.
Sportsbetting.ag.
He's a dumbass. I just saw that video. He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass. Sportsbetting.ag. Somewhere Joe Maloney's cursing me for bringing these guys up, but these guys do a great job.
Joe Maloney's a good guy.
I love Joe, but he wants me to only talk about onshore betting operators. But these guys email me odds, and they make my life easy. Therefore, I talk about them.
I mean, content.
The content game, baby. Brandon Ayuk, next team via sportsbetting.ag. Steelers at 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers at 6-1. Carolina just has no assets. What are they trading? But anyway, Patriots at 6-1. Then the Cardinals, Chargers, Bills, Giants, Chiefs, all at 12-1.
I would move that Chiefs thing a little bit higher.
Where are the Chiefs got him?
Huh?
If the Chiefs got him?
Where are the Commanders on that list?
Where are the Commanders on that list, Rooster? Some
great
may
question.
Wonder. Chiefs, Giants, Bills, all at 12-1. Mm-hmm. Jaguars at 14-1. Tampa, who got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin back, 16-1. The Bengals, which would be quite interesting, 18-1.
Who the hell are they going to pay him?
I don't know. And then you got a whole gang of teams at 25-1. The Atlanta Falcons, the Baltimore Ravens, the Las Vegas Raiders, and your Washington Commanders.
If you are a receiver, asking for a trade that's been said not that's not the case, or trying to go somewhere, you're not trying to go to Kansas City, they need to lay you down and have you talk to somebody.
Who knows that he's not trying?
I'm just saying.
You're just saying, like, hypothetically?
I mean, the problem for
my first case, I would be out. I have my friends tweeting that, man, he'll be good in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform.
Yeah. The problem for a guy like Ayuk, right, is he's not only got to find a team that is willing to pay him, but also willing to trade pretty high compensation. However, we determine pretty high compensation.
I don't think the comp is that high unless you get a deal done in advance.
Well,
because otherwise you're trading for a year.
Right. But that could, I mean, that was essentially what happened with A.J. Brown, right? Didn't the Eagles pay a number 18 overall and like a mid-round pick and have the contract already worked out when they drafted, when they traded for him on draft night?
A.J. Brown trade value.
No, probably not. Yeah. But I mean, is he getting $25 million?
Yeah.
Is he getting second round pick value?
Only
say
with
like
the contract.
36 or 40?
Only
and,
with a contract.
With a contract, they would, but if they don't have a contract.
Without a deal, I think it's a 4 and a 5.
Maybe it's still multiple. I think it's probably
a little 3 and a 5?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's going to be – this situation is going to work out for him because it is probably best for San Fran that they get rid of him, get him out of the building and get something for him rather than trying to keep him and play with him.
Again, they've got some monster contracts.
Yeah, they will do – it would be much more feasible for them to try and get something.
I mean, and everybody's obviously making the connection with Adam Peters here, but I don't know. To me, when you've already decided to pay Terry, and it's not like Terry's untradeable, but still a pretty large dead cap hit if you trade him.
I think you'd want him to play with Terry.
Right, and that's the other thing, because Jahan Dotson is certainly no anything from a guarantee. And it's okay to have three legitimately good receivers because we know De'Ami Brown is just not developed. Yeah, maybe he'll be better in this. I have no idea. But the bottom line is, can you afford to do all that.
When you have a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yes.
And probably a left tackle on a rookie deal. That's the calculus that allows this to kind of operate. But clearly, odds makers, and you'll tell me how odds makers don't know anything and blah, blah, blah.
They don't.
Clearly, they don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, would you trade the number 40? Let's just say the number 40 pick, which is what the one they got from Chicago, from Montez Sweat. Would you trade the number 40 and the number 100, which is the last of the three third-round picks? So a second and a
basically
third
a
for
fourth,
you.
But yeah.
Or T. Higgins?
No.
Neither.
I wouldn't do it with either of them without a deal in place. Because Higgins playing on
the tag. But if a deal was in place, you would consider it.
I think that comp's too high. Diggs just got traded for a second.
If a deal was in place.
Diggs got a second, but Diggs got second back a fifth and a sixth.
Yeah, Diggs got a second next year. I agree. I mean, the trade comps are always.
If you look at Diggs' deal, the second next year, and they gave him Diggs and a fifth and a sixth.
Yeah. Right.
So that's not necessarily a two.
But Diggs also got his contract reworked, however, it's basically a one-year deal.
Only way it's a Friday night pick is with a deal, period.
That's fair.
That's the only way it's a Friday night pick. Then is the comp a two? Is the comp a 3 and a 5? Like, I'm interested in those discussions. I don't see if it's a 2 and a 3, I think I'm out.
I wonder if two things conspire against any of this. Higgins hurting Ayuk, Ayuk hurting Higgins, and the fact that I don't know if there's any argument about this. It is a very deep draft class for wide receivers. You know, like all of those things conspiring to help hold down market value and the need. Now, maybe after the draft, if you don't get a guy that you want, maybe that increases your desire. You know, if you're the Bills, right? If you don't get, I don't know, a guy that you think could potentially replace Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, who they also lost in free agency, then do you go, oh, wait a second. We need
that right there hurts Buffalo. They lost two good ones.
Yeah.
Very good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Roos.
Yes.
Big Caps game tonight.
Big game. Worried about the defense being 2-man down. I mean, Dylan McElrath is, you know, her captain at Hershey, great. They've won a lot of games, but this is the Boston Bruins that you're going against.
And this is the NHL.
Yeah.
Not Hershey.
And this team has been inconsistent. Now, the good thing is they generally play pretty good against Boston, and they generally play
Boston up there earlier this year?
Yes. And they generally play better as we found out twice in 9 days in Buffalo, against teams that are pretty darn upper level, right? Now, they did lose to Ottawa the last time they were here in overtime.
Never forget not the Coyotes game where they gave up a touchdown.
There you go. I'm not saying that they always do, but generally...
Generally.
I hope that they will come up with a better... I worry more about tomorrow night in Philly, on the road, back-to-back. Philly might still need that. The Capitals can't lose, I think it is, can't lose in regulation tomorrow. I don't think they can clinch a spot tonight, if I'm understanding this right. But they can win or lose in overtime tomorrow night in Philly, but they can't lose in regulation somehow. I don't know all the permutations. I got to figure all that out.
So this is from Grant. Caps playoff odds right now, 29% to make the playoffs. If they win in regulation tonight, 59% to make the playoffs.
Right. If they lose in regulation tonight,
it drops all the way down to 11%, right. And an overtime loss would be 19%. Right.
So, but I think the whole deal is they got to win in
regulation. Hey, Rooster, go do your show, man. Yes. JP, we got a break. 12:58.
Right. Okay, yes, you're right. You're right. Good point, B-Mitch.
That's my favorite game, is to see if we can keep the Rooster on our show past the start of his show. The answer is clearly yes. Nobody go anywhere. Barry Svrluga joins us next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.